The minhag is to start with a little musr, so I thought I would take something which is really from this past week's parsha, but it connects to the beginning of this coming week's parsha, and that is that we've been speaking about war. We have a war in Parsha Shoftim, the beginning of Ki Tzeitzei, La Melchama, of course, relates to war, but in particular, I wanted to spend a few minutes on something that seems to be initially really perplexing, and I think that while there's a lot of explanations, one particular insight is, I think, particularly relevant in general to anyone, specifically, though, to guys in yeshiva, and specifically in Elul, to anyone, and Kal Vachomer, therefore, to guys in yeshiva in Elul. And that is the parsha which we read last week about those who are exempt from war. Certain wars, we generally understand this to be not the Milchamet Mitzvah, but a Milchamet Rishos, which under certain conditions a Jewish king can lead the nation into battle. So there are certain exemptions that can be allowed. And one of the lists that's mentioned, this is in Perachaf Pasuk Ches, the Torah tells us, one of the four is, Mi ha'ish hayarei chalevav. If you're scared. Right, it's a little bit of a surprising thing to think about right on the battlefield. Who's scared? Raise your hand. You're exempt. You can go home. So, initially, again, on some level, maybe there's a certain intuitiveness to this. On the other hand, it's really shocking. I mean, right? As someone once very famously said, war is hell. So who wouldn't be scared? Like, if everyone who is exempt is scared is exempt, what kind of, what would that mean? So actually, as Rashi quotes, the explanation and interpretation of this pasuk is a very famous machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kemashma'o. Shieno yochol la'amod bekishri ha'melchamav. Etc. Rakiva says, "Yeah, enechanami. You know, a lot of people are tough, as the Sefer Chinuch says when he talks about the halacha of not being scared. So he says, you know, you have, again, you're in a Jewish army. Remember, a biblical army. You have Hashem on your side, right? You know, you have reason to be confident. Someone who isn't confident, so right, one coward, you'll forgive me, but one scaredy cat, one coward." Can melt the courage of an entire unit. It's not a question of being nice or not to him. It's just terrible for war, says Rabbi Akiva. You can't have somebody who's going to be scared. You know, his fear is contagious. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do. He doesn't cover the back of his fellow soldiers. Better, you know, we'd rather go than anyone who's scared. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva's interpretation. However, the Gemara continues and says that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Omer, Hayarei Meha'averos Shebiyado. Doesn't mean someone who's scared of war. Who wouldn't be a little bit scared of war? That's not enough to exempt someone from the army. You know, you fight through your fear. But rather, says Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, it means someone who's scared of his averos. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is describing a person who says, listen, I know I have all these averos, and I'm worried that in the course of battle, there are so many ways that could be deliberately from the enemy, there could be accidental, there could be a lucky shot, there could be friendly fire, there could just be a landmine. There's so many ways that Hashem could give me my just desserts, could give me what I really deserve. That's what he's scared of. In other words, he knows that he's done averos, and he's worried that being in the battlefield will be a very opportune time for Hashem to exercise the schar v'onesh that he deserves. Now, if you think about that for a moment on a strictly philosophical, theological level, it needs work. In the sense that if you really believe, which this person obviously, in Hashkacha Pratis, and that in Schar V'Onesh, that Hashem's going to punish us for our bad deeds, Hashem knows us personally, and Hashem knows our Averos, he can come get us whenever he wants. Well, if that's the case, then Hashem could get us just as easily walking down the block.
Is it help to go to war? But we said that Hashem, in a time of danger, God...
Good. So I said 100%. So I didn't say it doesn't make any sense theologically. I'm just saying that there's a certain predominance, I would say, of psychology, at least as much of theology here. Meaning, objectively, yes, Hashem could make, you know, a traffic accident. Hashem could make anything if you really deserve it. But psychologically, and perhaps also philosophically, there's justification. But certainly, I would say psychologically, it's very much human nature. Even if you believe that Hashem could get you any time. To be more scared. Again, he's not scared in an objective, kind of dry way of the bullets. He's scared of Hashem directing the bullets at him because of his averos. Yes?
So what should the difference be whether he's scared of the battle itself or scared of his averos? Either way, it's just going to affect his ability to...
Again, so Rabbi HaGalili is not worrying about his quote-unquote ability to fight or his ability, his impact on other people. That's not what Rabbi Yossi HaGalili is referring to. He's saying that this person who has that kind of a fear, whether it will paralyze him or just objectively, he wants to go do tshuva, he wants to sit in the base matters, he's too scared that the battlefield will... I want to focus on something, a next step of this, which we'll get to in a second, but yeah, one more question before we see the Gemara.
So, but why is Rabbi Yossi HaGalili necessarily only personal and not affecting his fellow?
I didn't say it's not. I just don't know that he's... I don't think it's... You don't have to say that it'll affect other people. He's focusing on the person's inner life. Okay, now what's important is the continuation of the Gemara. Which Averos is this guy scared of? Anyone know of the Gemara? Which Averos? Which Averos is this person scared of that he's worried, I have these Averos in the back pocket, Hashem might strike me down in war. Anyone remember? Excellent, Yoni. The Gemara says, Hasach bein tefila latfila. Tefila here means tefillin in singular. The tefillin, each one is a tefila. Okay, so in other words, you put on your shelyad. Let's for now say Ashkenaz who say two brachos, or for that matter, not. The point is, even if you only make one bracha, but you make the bracha lahaniach, you put on your shelyad. You're not supposed to talk until you've already put on the shel rosh. Right? This we all were taught when we were 13. So let's say someone does talk, a friend of yours you haven't seen in a while, or there was you on your way to shul, you check the scores. It was an incredible game, on your ESPN app or whatever it is, and you see somebody walking by, and right after you put on the shel yad, you tell somebody before you put on your shel rosh. Like, that's an avera. That's hasach bein tefila tefila. Someone who's scared of that kind of an avera, says the Gemara, that's Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says, he's worried. He's worried he won't be able to live with that spiritual reckoning in the time of war. So let me ask you a question based on your vast halachic knowledge. What is the status? What kind of avera, what level of avera is talking in between the tefillin? Anyone know? There's kares, there's daraisa, darabanan, there's minog, there's malkos. Where would you put this in the pantheon of averas? Not that we like to play favorites, and the Mishnah Perkei Avos does say Zayir Kala B'chamura, we should try to be careful in every type of avera or every mitzvah, but what level is this on? Yeah. Excellent, right? So no one should take me out of context, but it is just Derabanan. Asks one of the Chassidish Rebbes, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Kotzker Rebbe. One second, let me ask you a question. Just how big was the Jewish army? If you're telling me that according to Lili, anyone who even has an Isser Derabanan on his plate and therefore is scared that Hashem might bring his divine judgment against him because of that Derabanan that he has, that he once made a hefsek in Brachos, and that level of Avera, even that, quote, low level Avera, even once, is going to be so scary that he might get killed in battle, just pray tell, how big do you think the unit's going to be? How many tzaddikim do we have, with all due respect to my fellow Jewish brothers, how many tzaddikim do we have that don't even have that to worry about? They can be so confident, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, they don't even have an Isser Derabanan on their plate, and therefore they're not Yarei V'rach Levav. What are we talking about, says the Kotzker? So he gives an ingenious explanation.
Could Dalia take like 300 people into battle? Numbers like that.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't know there'd be 300 like that. But yes, of course, yes, there are examples. Yes, there are examples. So the answer is, says the Kotzker, a deep and profound truth. I don't know if this is pshat in Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, but it is an absolutely spiritual truth. What I'm about to tell you. Says the Kotzker, you know who we're talking about? We're not talking about someone who just did averos, 1, 10, a million, and doesn't care. We're talking about someone who did averos, already did tshuva. So what's the problem? The problem is, let's read Rashi carefully again, and I'll tell you how he translates it. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says, he's worried about the averos shebiyado. Namely, what does that mean? he did an Avera, but then this guy did tshuva, says the Kotzker. That's his Chiddush in Rashi, in Rabbi Yosef. He reads the word tshuva into it. He did tshuva, and yet, despite having done the tshuva, he's still scared about the Averos. That is to say, biyado, as we would say, he can't let go. He can't let go. He knows he did Averos, but he knows he did tshuva. But he's haunted by his past. He's haunted by his past. Says the Kotzker, to do a proper tshuva, to be a true Eved Hashem, on the one hand, does mean looking back, spiritual reckoning. And if I may say so, anyone who has no fear, especially in Elul, no fear of his actions from the past year, so someone has to take their spiritual temperature, because we've all done sins, so there is what to fear for all of us. But, says the Kotzker, once we've done that, and there's a place and a healthy time for that, then that has to be a catalyst to do tshuva. But the key, he says, the difference between a debilitating, negative self-loathing as opposed to a productive, positive rehabilitation of the past is one thing: our ability to transition from the past to the future. Halavai, we should never do sins, but we're human. So then step two is an honest cheshbon. Look back, go into the closet and be honest about the skeletons that are there. It's not a question of admitting it to other people, but at least to ourselves, and sometimes we're the biggest liars to ourselves. Be honest about that. And if we are, it'll probably affect us. That's healthy. But then, properly motivated, do a full tshuva, and then, says the Kotzker, learn to let go. Learn to move on. It can't be that even after tshuva, you're being weighed down and held back by the averos biyado, because you can't let go of them. You have to learn how to properly balance the past and the future. So this is an important lesson for all people at all stages of lives, all stages of life. But I think especially in Elul, for guys in their first year in yeshiva, right? Tshuva is all about the future, typically, right? With new beginnings, a new year, a new stage of life. Everything is future focused. So Elul comes to remind us. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur comes to remind us. You can't be so quick to run to the future that you don't make a reckoning of the past. Tshuva requires us. Now, you could do tshuva in Cheshvan and in Kislev too, but at least, at the end of the year and beginning of the year towards Yom Kippur, we know this is the season. But don't let the past paralyze you. Don't let the past paralyze you. You're all wonderful, but none of you are perfect. And therefore, I can say with absolute certainty that you all have what to do tshuva for. So use the opportunity, use this unique Elul, the first, although hopefully not the last, but the first that you're in yeshiva, to inspire you to grow. And that includes making a reckoning of the past. But once you do that, whatever thing you once did in high school, in middle school, in summer camp, whatever, that maybe now you're truly embarrassed by. So if that's the case, if you did something wrong, so do tshuva. And then learn how to move on. If you then learn how to grow, that is the healthy recipe for true religious growth, says the Kotzker. Being buried and paralyzed by the past, but confronting the past and learning how to move on to create more and future positive spiritual memories. Okay? Any questions on that?